It's time for you to experience the passion of Edwina Patterson. She has a passion for God, a passion for sharing His love with others, and a passion for others to redeem the time. Edwina is a popular conference retreat speaker, prolific writer, radio host, and founder of Heart for the Home Ministry. Drawing from lessons she's learned and mistakes she's made, Edwina challenges, encourages, and equips you to begin today to buy back the past and focus on the future. Now, here's Edwina Patterson.
First of all, each one of you, if you did not receive a handout, if you would raise your hand, we want to get, some of you might have slipped it. Here's one over here. Keep it up, and they're going to bring, and then there's, yes, please, ma'am. We recruit around here. Who needs one? And then I think there was one way in the back. If everybody have a handout. Inside your handout, you will see a white card like this. If you would take time before you leave today, I'll try to give you a minute or two, but if you would take time before you leave today to fill this out for me, I take my time with you very seriously. I am not here to entertain you. I am here to share with you Cliff Notes from 44 years of marriage. Someone asked me yesterday, do you have an earned PhD? And I said, no, I've got a hard-earned M-O-M after my name. I speak from the voice of experience. And so I want to share with you Cliff Notes. And I know that I have been accused of speaking in shorthand. But the only reason I do that is because I genuinely care that you get, I didn't come all the way from Dallas just to spend some time with you. I came so that when you leave here, you will be equipped to go home and pour into your child coping skills that will help him or her as they deal daily with the stress that they are experiencing in the world today. And I want to applaud you. You all are far, far ahead of the rest of the world because you recognize that there is stress and there is busyness in the world. So I want these prayer cards. We have a team of women in Dallas who are just waiting to receive them. They're praying for you right now. But then when they get these cards, they'll pray for you by name. My heart aches as I think of today's children. As I travel from Alaska to Florida, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and I see our lives. And I see the busyness in our lives. My heart aches as I realize today's children do not have time to just be a child. Their innocence was taken away at 9/11. Our whole country's innocence were taken away then. Threats from violence, from terrorists, from neighborhood gangs, from abusive parents, and the television are stealing our children's innocence and their childhood right from under our noses. And a time of just being a kid is gone. The best way to describe our lives today is stressed. We race from work to soccer fields to church choir or another commitment, and we run through McDonald's until we finally collapse in bed each night. What I want to give to you, I want to try to give you now causes of stress in your child. Times have changed since you were a child. Times have changed since I was a child. The world has changed. Childhood has changed. Your child today is expected to know more, compete more, cope with more temptations, and work harder than any other time in history just to gain the bare essentials of life. Your child lives in a complex, ever-changing world. And what I did as I traveled, my heart began to ache as I saw these little ones crying as their mother dropped them off at the nursery, or crying as their mother would pick them up if it was someone that was picking me up from the airport. As I began to watch these children and I watched them in the mall, my heart began to say, what's going on here? What's going on here? And I delved into medical books. I read research after research, and some of the results that your child is experiencing because of the stress And our world today includes headaches, nervousness, allergies, bedwetting, temper tantrums, stuttering, and many more. The purpose of this workshop is not to prove to you that there is stress in the world. Every one of you are here because you realize there's stress in the world. What I want to share with you is that your child does not have to be at the mercy of the stress that he experiences. You can learn how to equip him to deal with the stress that he faces. Our children are no longer protected as I was protected, or even my children were protected from stress. They experience 60% of all marriages end in divorce today. Did you know that the divorce rate among Christian couples now surpasses the divorce rate of non-Christians? 25%, that should tell you something's wrong, y'all. We need to wake up. 25% of all children now live in single-parent families. 56% of all children under 6 years of age have both parents working. 42% of children from kindergarten through third grade are regularly left alone to care for themselves. I want to give you may be thinking, but my child does not fit in any of those categories. Okay, let me give you some additional causes for stress in your children that you may not even be aware of. Number one, noise. It's a proven factor that aggravating loud noise, although it does not appear to bother children, gives them high levels of irritability. It's proven. Number two, television and video games. Begin to watch the children's programs. Begin to watch the commercials in the children's programs. And what is it? It's always constantly changing. They call it stimulating. But what it does, the result of that, is your child no longer knows how to concentrate. They have to be visually stimulated. Number three, overcrowding. Did you know that playgrounds, shopping malls, schools, and freeways are crowded? And do you know that research from Rutgers University reports that children who experience overcrowding feel tense, annoyed, and uncomfortable? They discovered that their blood pressure actually went up. And do you know which group of children that it affected the most? Little boys. Now, y'all, file that away. That's why our husbands don't like to go to the malls. Number four, our children are experiencing pressures like never before from parents and from teachers to learn more, achieve more. Number five, emotions. Today's children are experiencing emotions that my children were never exposed to. They are experiencing anger that has never been reported before in the scale that's being reported now. They are experiencing conflict. That's number six. Conflict at home, at school, and social settings. And that's too stressful for our children to be constantly exposed to that. Number seven, life changes are highly stressful. Death of a family member, death of a pet, moves from one city to another city, change in school, illnesses, all those things cause stress for your child. I'm going to skip down to birth order. Firstborn children usually experience more stress as their parents learn how to parent. The middle child usually experiences stress because they feel like they're easily forgotten. And the baby experiences stress because he feels like he can't measure up to his older brother or sister. There are many causes. One of the major causes for stress in your child's life is sibling rivalry. That jealousy between children. Y'all make a point. I was visiting with a woman today at my table, and she was telling me some of the things. She has four children. And some of the, and she was just talking through, and I said, sounds like those children need some time with mama by themselves. Well, how are they going to do that? Well, you have a date night. You have four children, that's every week. You take one, and you just go out for a milkshake, and you sit and listen to that child Sibling, we did not allow sibling rivalry. We had two girls and then we had a boy. And so we made sure that we examined these two girls and where were they bent? Which way was one leaning or which way? And we made sure that they could both excel in a different area. And we helped them develop that area. We did not allow our children to talk ugly to each other. Now, you're going to come up to me afterwards and say, how did you do that? I didn't allow it. That meant I had to go in and sit next to those girls, in between those girls, you know how little girls are, and sit between those little girls, and you're not going to talk that way about your sister. Someday, your friends are going to leave and go away to another town, another country, another state. But this is your sister and your brother. They are part of your family. Y'all, I want you to know that all those years that I had to sit there, I have been known to take when they kept on and kept on and kept on, and I would sit there to take scotch tape. You're not going to talk that way. It's not pleasing to God. Scripture tells us we are to edify each other. Let me tell you. When those kids went off to school, many times they didn't call mom and dad. They called their brother or sister. That's what we are looking for and trying to gain. But we have in today's culture something that a phenomenon they've never had before. The hurried family. The hurried household has produced the hurried child. Parents rush from appointments and they push their children too hard and they say, hurry up and finish breakfast. We've got to go to school. Hurry up and get your soccer clothes on. We're late for practice. Hurry up and say your prayers. You've got to get in bed. And we have created a hurried child. Do you know what that produces in a hurried child? Loneliness and the feeling that life doesn't really matter. Hurried parents usually overprogram their children. They don't take time to teach their child how to tie their shoes because that takes too long. They quickly tie it for them. They don't teach their children how to pick up their toys in their room and put it in the toy box because it takes too much time. They'd rather rush in there and do it themselves. They are taught when, where, and how high. They have no creative ability to solve problems. If you're disappointed with your child, you think he's not measuring up, you need to examine your attitude and see what God is doing in your life. I want you to watch. Signs of stress in your child. I want you to watch for some physical signs of stress in your child. And this is all pulled right out of all those medical books. When your child is taking a test, a highly stressed child may experience an intense headache, feel panicky, and forget all the facts that she studied. Now begin to think as I'm giving you some of these physical signs, is my child experiencing this? Some overstressed children experience nausea and diarrhea and butterflies in the stomach. Teeth grinding are caused by tension. Colds, flu, and stomach viruses often result from too much stress. Now, every child is going to get the virus every once in a while, and every child is going to get a sore throat every once in a while. But if it's a repeated, continuous thing, you need to examine the stress level of your child. Depression. I had a woman, precious, precious woman, that I deeply admire because she is so courageous to share with me that her 7-year-old daughter, the doctor wants to put her on antidepressants. Children are experiencing depression earlier than ever before. 5-year-olds are being treated for stomach ulcers. Children that are highly stressed exhibit a deep anger, and it manifests itself in aggravation towards friends and family, instability at all frustrations. They can't handle change. They immediately erupt in anger. Now, how are you going to process this information? Just beginning to know your child, just looking at these things, you need to learn how to process this information. Looking for symptoms is not enough. Perhaps you don't see any visible signs of stress in your child. It may be hidden, and then it's going to erupt in just a minute. As I said in my book, Children Who Glorify God, everything I'm saying to you today is taken from these 5 books. So if I skip over or I quickly just touch on an area that is a point of interest in your heart, know that I'm trying to speak to a general audience, but the answers are here. I know it. I've raised 3 children, and 7 grandchildren are being raised by these methods. As I said in my book, Children Who Glorify God, you will never be able to rear a child who has the stability and the confidence to make choices that please God until you know, K-N-O-W, know that child and what makes him tick. You must look for the motive behind the action. If you don't know the reason why your child is responding the way he is, you'll never be able to correct the behavior. So you need to look for that heart action, and you must know, first of all, that God has a plan for your child. He has a plan for every child that is born into this earth, and I believe that he places within the in that child the personality that will equip that child to accomplish the plan that he has for him. Secondly, you need to realize that every child is unique. I don't have to tell you this. No 2 children are exactly alike. No 2 two-year-olds can accomplish the same thing in the same time. So what causes stress for my child? I just quickly wanted you to see on the board an evaluation chart that we don't have time to go into in detail here, because you need to think about this. This does not need to be some snap, flippant answer that you give. You need to look at these. You need to see that some stress is internal and some is external or environmental. And through this evaluation that I have up on the board now, you would be able to look at this and rate your child 0, rarely, 1, maybe once a month, 2, maybe once a month or once a week, or 3, more than once a week. For example, 1, my child seems to be pressured by too many demands and it expresses there isn't time to play. Let's skip to 5. My child is exposed to family quarrels and arguments. 10, schoolwork is difficult for my child. 11, my child worries about what his teacher thinks of him. Now, there are many others there, but as you take that then, you would look over at the interpretation of the results, and you would mark using those numbers that I gave you earlier, and you would see where your child is falling as he is experiencing stress in his life today. So, how is stress affecting your child? This is another evaluation chart to look at. Think of your child's behavior and responses to the stress that he has been exposed to in the past 2 to 3 weeks. And you would go through this evaluation chart. For example, 2, my child complains of stomach pains, digestive problems, heartburn, and diarrhea. Skip down to 5, my child gets sores in his mouth, skin rashes, or flu-like infections. 7, my child is angry, defiant, and tries to break things. Then 12, getting started on an assignment is difficult for my child. He has little energy or difficulty concentrating. Then after you prayed about that and thought about those questions and you rated them using that same number rating system that we did on the other chart, you would be able to interpret that evaluation and see how stress is affecting your child. Then I included another one. It's called What is My Child's Personality? This is really just an awareness tool. If you have more than one child, you know that each child is completely different. I had 3, I have 7 grandchildren. I had 1 daughter who was very, very sensitive. I have 1 granddaughter who is very sensitive. That is a wonderful, wonderful trait. And I always prayed, don't let my beautiful daughter become calloused. Let that sensitivity be protected, Lord, because that's the child that walks into the room and she can tell which one, she could come in here and tell me which one of you needs a hug. My little granddaughter is sensitive and she knows she's the child that I think is going to grow up and take over this ministry. She goes to conferences and she's 7 years old now and she sits there and she listens and then she goes out to the book table and as quiet as she is, she can tell which woman that she can open up to and respond to. Y'all, you need to protect your children a little bit from that. So this evaluation chart will give you an awareness tool. So if you have one of those precious children that are a little bit sensitive, you will custom design a training program for them. You know, that train up a child in the way he shall go, which we had time to look into that word train. One of the interpretations is, and one of the meanings of that word is, custom design a training program for that child. For example, number three, your child on one side of the chart is shy. On the other side of the chart, it's outgoing. Number five, ignores responsibilities or accepts responsibilities. Number 10, selfish or giving. And as you go through that and you can evaluate your child's personality, you see, your child by osmosis will pick up a trait from you. If 9/11 occurred and your friends were calling you and saying, turn on the television and look what's happening, and you're crying and screaming on the television and you're calling somebody else, your 2-year-old and your 3-year-old and your 10-year-old and your 16-year-old picked that up from you. As I did radio interview after radio interview on 9/11, and they called me and said, what do we do about our children? How is this going to happen? I said, wait a minute. This was not a surprise to God. God is still on his throne. He's still in charge. You can trust him. And as your children see you respond like that to the calamities and the crisis and the overflowing toilet and the washing machine that floods the floor, as they see you responding to those things, they will learn ways to handle stress. Stressed out parents produce stressed out children. Children are great mimics. They're going to pick up the way you walk, the way you use your hands. They pick up your phrases, ladies, your tone of voice. Watch them as they play in the yard. They will pick that up. And I pray that your children see a calm sense, a peace of knowing that God's in control. We can handle this. That storm outside's not going to scare me, because I know my God can calm the storms with one word, peace. My children were not afraid of storms. When our oldest granddaughter was 9 months old, she was staying with a friend while my daughter and I went to something. I think I was speaking someplace, and my daughter went with me. And the woman that kept our precious first grandchild was afraid of storms. And it stormed. And after that, my 9-month-old cried at storms. And it was my privilege that year to keep that daughter, granddaughter, Jordan, while my daughter did some consulting. And I used to, on the days that I would keep Jordan, I would pray, oh Lord, let it rain today. Let it rain today. And I would gather up that crying, wiggly, screaming, frustrated child, and I'd take an umbrella. And I'd go outside, and holding her tight, singing in the rain, I'm singing in the rain. And that's about all I could remember from, you know, that song that Gene Kelly sang. But I sang it over and over again. And the time came that year when I had an umbrella, barefooted, and Jordan had an umbrella, barefooted, walking in the rain. They pick up from you. If you're afraid of spiders, 9 times out of 10, your children are going to be afraid of bugs. They will pick up from you. I want to give you some stress-proofing strategies. As you filter through the information that we're giving today, I want you to remember your first day at school. Remember your first day as you changed schools, or as you went from junior high to high school. Remember how scared you were? Think back on that, and that will help you understand your child. Think how it felt to be afraid of the dark. Some of you may still be afraid of the dark. But think how that felt. Think how your child, if he is afraid of the dark right now, begin to work with him using some principles that I have in some of my other books. Think how excited you were on Christmas and birthdays and how you couldn't wait to open your gifts. And that helps you understand your child and how he can get excited over a school play or a championship game or something like that. You need to develop coping skills for your child. And to do that, you must remember that you are your child's first and most important resource to building positive coping skills. Y'all, if you have trouble coping with stress, your child's going to have trouble coping with stress. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. And it's no surprise to you all, and again, I applaud you for recognizing stress has waged a war on our lives in America. busyness. I mean, we think it's a mark of our level or something. Oh, I'm so busy. That's what we say all the time. I'm so busy. It's become the status symbol of today. We rush from the grocery store to picking up our children to dance lessons, and I'm so busy. How are you handling the stress that's in your life right now? I want you to take 5 seconds now, and I want to quickly run through some words with you. And I want you to take where you're making notes right now, and I don't want you to make notes about the words that I'm going to call out. I just want you to put a little slash mark. Every time I say a word that you've either verbally used in the last week or mentally thought. Okay, just one slash mark. Okay, first word, overwhelmed, weary, discouraged, frazzled, overworked, stressed, pressured, apprehensive, irritated, troubled, exhausted, worn out, tired, worried, busy, fatigued, uneasy, anxious, fearful, tormented, tense. Now, did I leave anybody out? If you put even one slash mark, you are dealing with stress in your life. And if it will make you feel any better, nearly half of American workers suffer from symptoms of burnout caused by stress. 75% of American adults reluctantly admit that they have great stress at least once a week. It is estimated that 75 to 90% of visits to primary care physicians are all stress produced. In 1995, the National Center for Health Statistics reported that almost 1 million people have died because of stress-related illnesses. So the very first thing is you are your child's most effective resource in coping with stress. Number two, the second resource to help your child successfully deal with stress is a caring and loving extended family. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins can help teach your child how to deal with stress. And if you don't live close to a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle, adopt one. Adopt an elderly person. They have tons of time to love on your child, and it'll be a win-win situation. Find a friend that has children your same age and swap off with each other, and that can become a surrogate aunt and uncle. The third resource is a safe and abuse-free home. Fourth resource is a supportive school system. I think you ought to be involved in your school system, whether it's a Christian school or a secular school. You need to be there and see what's going on. I'll never forget when our first child, a girl, started. This was back in the olden days when they didn't have public kindergarten. So when she started first grade in public school, I want you to know we had prayed and prayed and prayed for that teacher and prayed and prayed and prayed for that teacher, and we walk in that first day and find out she had the meanest teacher in the whole school. I mean, this teacher had the reputation of being tough and mean. And I'm like, I'm just going to march down to that principal's office and have her change right now. We prayed about this, God. Did you make a mistake? But then as I thought about it, I determined that God made no mistakes. And I went in and I began to get to know that teacher. Do you have anything that you need copied today? What can I help you do today? I found out that her room was used for the nursery for all the PTA every month. So you know what happened the next day after PTA meetings? Can you imagine the condition of her room? I got it moved. I got it rotated. And things began to happen in that class. The teacher changed, and she was the exact teacher that my child needed. You need to be involved in your child's school system. You are the one that can slow down your household. You are the hub. You keep the schedule and the agenda. Your husband doesn't. You are the one that can slow down your household. You need to learn to enjoy the process. How many of you all walk up an escalator? We need to learn to enjoy the process. If you are teaching your child to ride a bicycle, don't say, if you just learn, enjoy the process. I have a precious son-in-law who's always late. He's always late. But he's very, very godly, and I have learned so much from him. Oh, when he tells my three of my grandchildren goodbye each morning, he goes to one, and he enjoys telling her goodbye. It's not bye, see you later. He focuses just on her. And then he goes to the next one. And then he goes to the little one. And I've watched him. He actually enjoys the process. That's what we should be doing. We should enjoy the process of teaching them to tie their shoelaces, teaching them telephone manners. We should enjoy the process and laugh with them at the funny little things that they say and the way they express themselves. Choose to spend time together as a family. Taking walks. I think it's important. I don't care how old your children are. I said this one time, and the woman had a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 20-year-old. And I didn't know that, but I challenged the group to go home and gather their children up and take them outside to look at the stars and point out the stars are there. God holds them in place. God is a faithful God. She said that year on Mother's Day that she did that. She wrote me a note and told me that she'd done that. And on Mother's Day, she got three separate cards, one from each one of her children, the 16-year-old, the 18-year-old, and the 20-year-old. And they'd each written her a note. But each one had written a note about that night when she cared enough to take those children outside and say, see, that's what my God does. He's a faithful God. Do things together. You know a fun thing to do together, which used to be popular back in the olden days, is fondue. They can't hurry through a meal with fondue, y'all. I think you ought to establish goof-off time with your children. Goof-off time is a phrase that our family coined. Your children are put in such a hectic pace, they need time during the week when they can, quote, goof-off. They can do what they want to do within reason. If they want to read a book, if they want to play with their a friend, if they want to play with their toys, if they want to watch a video that you have approved of, let them do it. They need time to unwind, and we called it goof-off time. You need to protect family commitments. If you tell your child that on Saturday we're going to the zoo, on Saturday, don't come in when they're all ready to go and say, oh, I'm sorry, something came up and Mommy and Daddy can't take you to the zoo. Learn to protect your commitments. And then it is my prayer that you will examine your schedule. What can you cut out? What can you cut out? And we'll go into that a little bit more. Stress for your child is inevitable. We can't protect our children from all types of stress. They are going to have to cope with pressure, and we must teach our children skills to deal with the stress, or they'll become miserable adults. So I want to quickly share with you some coping skills. Number one, make sure your child gets adequate sleep. If you keep your toddler out while you're shopping all day and he misses his nap, don't you dare punish him because he's cranky. It was your fault. Do you know we live in a country that is one of the world's most sleep-starved societies? We are the most work-driven, stressed out, and probably least happy people. Do you know what some of the stresses of insufficient sleep are? Inability to concentrate, slowed reaction time, mental confusion, and loss of self-confidence. Make sure your child gets adequate sleep. Number two, help your child become physically fit. Y'all turn off the TV. Encourage them to go outside and play. Running and playing outside strengthens their muscles and their bones, and it reduces fatigue. It actually releases natural tranquilizers in the brain. Number three, and I think this one is vital for you to understand, teach your children to evaluate what's really important. Help him learn to think, is this really important? Suppose your child comes in and says, Johnny called me a scaredy cat. Well, you could respond, does Johnny know everything? No, he doesn't. Well, you know, Is it really so bad to be afraid of some things? I know that sometimes I get frightened of a car wreck or something like that. Is it so bad? You know, God promises us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So do you think that, you know, it's okay to be afraid of some things? And then your son might respond with, yeah, it is. So what are you going to tell Johnny when he calls you a scaredy cat next time? I'm going to tell him I don't care. But you help your child evaluate, is this really important? I mean, so what I made a bee? So what? Teach him to evaluate those things. I think it's important for you to teach your child healthy self-talk. Listen to your child. How is he responding when he's playing by himself? I'm so stupid, I couldn't build these blocks. They're just falling down. Why can't I do anything right? If you hear your child say that, go in, sit next to him. If he's frustrated because of the blocks or he couldn't work the puzzle, sit next to him. I love you so much. And while you're doing that, let me show you how to do this. And you show him how to look at the shape. Teach him, begin to say, you are special. You are special to me and you're special to God. I went to visit a friend of mine in New York several years ago. And I noticed that her six-year-old was, I can't do anything right, is what she was saying. I'm so stupid. Under her breath. So when I went home, I began once a week to write her a note. Just a little short note. Sometimes I would include a bookmark or a hair barrette or something like that. But a little note once a week. Just two or three little lines. I'm thinking about you, Leah. I love you. And God loves you. Or the next note might be, hope you're having a great day today. Remember, you're special to me and to God. That's how you help your child have healthy self-talk. Then I think you need to encourage your child and remind him often that God has a plan for his life. God's working on it. He has a plan. When your child, especially a child that has learning differences, it's going to need to be reinforced that way. God has a plan. I have a young woman who is a volunteer in our ministry back in Texas, and listen, her child has three learning differences. He has a speech impediment, he has dyslexia, and he has ADHD. Now she's worn out by 9 o'clock in the morning. But God has a plan. I keep telling her, God has a plan. That's the child that at Christmas, after they put up the Christmas tree, said something and his mother didn't understand. And she said, what did you say? And he said, and repeated again because of his speech impediment, can we hold hands around the tree and pray and thank God for the gift of Jesus? That's the child when my friend is driving in traffic and it's terrible in Dallas and she's getting frustrated. From the back seat, he says, Mommy, let's pray. God has a plan for that child. I think you need to accept your child just the way God made him. Too short to play basketball. Not quite sharp enough to make the honor roll. Would rather work on the computer than work out play soccer. Accept him exactly the way God made him because God has a plan for his life. I think you need to affirm your child. Say over and over again, I think you're great. He needs to hear that. The world is tearing him down. And you know, it breaks my heart that if you're a teacher in here, would you please stop using a red pen? Use purple or green or something else. Red to a child means I failed. Teach your children that failure is a part of life. Thomas Edison repeatedly failed, but he learned from each failure. Failure is not falling down. Failure is refusing to get up and try again. Failure is just an opportunity to learn. And the way you respond when your child makes a mistake and fails is what's going to equip him to handle the stress in his life. Offer support. How can I help you with that project? How can I help you build those blocks? And come in and sit with him. Work on family projects together. Families don't spend much time together anymore. One time we helped my husband build a fence. three of us and me. It took him twice as long. Every one of us had a hammer and nail. And we had so much fun. You don't know how much frustration you can get when you hammer. And those children were having so much fun. And as he gently taught them, we spent time together. Work on family. We always worked. We always worked in the yard together. Everybody. Y'all, we didn't give our children allowances. Nobody was giving me an allowance for vacuuming and washing the clothes. That was part of my contribution to the family and keeping the family together. So they would pick up. They would help take out the trash. And they were contributing to the family. I never went to said, can I have an allowance so I can go to the movies or I can go to ladies' night out? We just had it. So they never had to say, can I do an extra this or that so I can... We gave it to them because they were contributing to the family. I think you need to pick your battles. You need to know your child. Does it really matter if he wears a red shirt and orange shorts? Does it really matter if he wants his hair, you know, cut all off? Pick your battles. Pick your battles. A wise woman once told me, don't back yourself into a corner. Don't say you will never, because that might happen. Pick your battles. Will it really matter? Now, I think you ought to pour out your love. I think you need to verbalize your love over and over and over again. One of the greatest things, I was not raised in a Christian home. I was a victim of child abuse. So the things that I'm sharing with you are results of trials and error as I taught my children and as I made many, many mistakes as I reared them. But one of the greatest introductions I ever had, when I stood to speak, they asked my oldest daughter who sings to come and sing and then to introduce me. And she said, we never doubted her love. They knew, even though I made mistakes, that I loved them. And you have to say that over and over again. They can't read your mind. They're not God. So you have to say it over and over again. I think you need to be consistent. I spoke recently at Max Lucado's church to the teenagers. Now, y'all, that's scary for a woman my age to stand up, and they asked me to speak to the teenagers. So I did tons and tons of research, and I found out one of the things that I found out were some of the results of juvenile delinquency. The number one cause of juvenile delinquency was inconsistency in parents. You must be consistent. We are not consistent because we're tired, and it takes too much effort. You must learn to listen in your home. Listen to your child. Sit and be quiet. You know those toddlers that are pulling on your pant leg for the 100th time asking you a question. Y'all, if you would stop what you're doing, working on the computer or working on a craft project or cooking, and get down and get eye level and answer them the first time, they know you've listened to them. And then they usually won't come back. Usually. I want you to think about how stressful is your home. And in interest of time, I just want you to think about, do members of your family shout or overreact to situations? Can your children trust you to keep your promises? And the last one, are your children allowed to express their thoughts and feelings without ridicule? These are some things that you would need to think about, how stressful is your home. You need to think about your child's environment. I am not saying that your house needs to be spick and span and spotless. But it is a proven fact in the research, the medical research, that your child needs some space that is his. He may have to share a room with one or two or three siblings, but he can have a corner. He can have a toy box. He can have a section of that closet that is his. And he may be a child that wants everything picked up. Messes left unattended cause stress for your child. If he has to constantly step over mounds of toys or clothes or things like that on the floor, it causes stress for your child. Take a moment before your child goes to bed and pick things up, even if it's just putting it all in the toy box and dealing with it later. But that eases the stress in your child's life. I think you ought to have a sense of humor. Never pray for patience. Pray for a sense of humor. Pray for a sense of humor. Teacher, did you know that Rutgers University did a research, and they found that children who laughed more and smiled a lot were generally more popular and dealt with stress better? The family that laughs together is usually less stressed because your children see the way you handle mistakes and changes in the schedule and things like that. And they can learn how to deal with stress in your life. We were in the olden days where we all sat around the table and had dinner together. I think you ought to implement that at least once a week. And you know how some children will eat faster than the other, and we wanted everybody to stay there so that we could have family time together. So we implemented imitation time. The person that finished early could be the family entertainment, the floor show. And they would take, and they would imitate either an animal, you know, kind of like charades. And we had fun, and we took turns, and we laughed together. I also think you ought to have a spiritual home. I think your children need to know that God is in charge. The time will come in their life when they are faced with drugs. They are faced with cheating on a test. A friend might be tempting them to steal a package of gum from the grocery store. And they have got to have a God consciousness, which this little book over here helps to develop. A God consciousness. If your child has a God consciousness, when those difficult times come into his life, he can make wise choices. I've seen it in our son who was playing football and got injured. When we were there, he went to college on a football scholarship. And when he was injured, then he couldn't play for several weeks. So we didn't go one of those times. I was speaking or something, and we didn't go. In the meantime, they had done an MRI on him and found out the injury was very, very serious, and that he could no longer have any type of sudden jolt to his neck because he could become paralyzed. He was there by himself. We were not there in that town. We were 4 hours away. And he went back to his room, and he stood there, and he said, I knew deep down in my heart that God was in charge. And then he did what any other red-blooded American boy would do. He picked up the phone and called his mother. And he said, "Where's Dad?" Developing a home where your children know that God is loved and trustworthy and faithful will help your children handle threats from terrorists. Are your children experiencing in school, tornado drills and fire drills and hostage drills? Ours are in Texas. But learning to have this deep down abiding knowledge that God is always with me will help them handle tests at school, threats from terrorists, accidents and illness, changes in schedules, peer pressure, a darkened room, moving to a new neighborhood, not making the team, and fear of the unknown. And the reason each one of you is here in this room is because you care about your child. And you don't want that child to simply survive in today's world. You want him to thrive. And as you look back on the week, sometimes you sit there and you think, is it worth it? I am pouring my life and my energy into these children, into this home. Is it worth it? And then they come and they wrap their arms around our necks and with grape jelly kisses say, "You're the best, Mom." And we know. That's why we do it. We work and we play to equip those children to survive and thrive in a stress-infested world. I want to leave you with three questions, really, that have helped me handle the stress in my life today. I am busy, y'all. I travel all over the world. But I think these three questions, if you will brand them in your mind. Number one, who is putting this stress, pressure, or time frame on me? who is putting the stress on me? Is it some well-meaning friend or an employer or your spouse? 9 times out of 10, the stress you put on yourself because you want to accomplish one more thing. You want to receive praise from others. Number 2, is it of eternal value? Will someone be pointed to Jesus Christ if I finish my task by such and such time? Does it really matter, y'all, if my drapes are made and hung by Friday night's party? Does it really matter if I schedule a dental appointment on that side of town? And you know, by the way, my doctor's over there, so I schedule that appointment that day, and I schedule 2 other appointments that day. Does it really matter? Does it really matter if I run 10 errands after I pick up my child from school? Does it really matter if I have unhurried prayer time with my children? Those are the things. Will it really matter? And then the third question is, must it be done immediately? Must it be done right now? Do I have to rush out the door and buy Johnny's soccer shoes today? It's 6 weeks before soccer practice starts. Does he have to have it today? Can I wait until tomorrow to pick up the dry cleaning? Begin to ask yourself, who's putting this stress or pressure on me? Is it of eternal value, and must it be done immediately? And then I encourage you to begin each day on your knees. Y'all, we have access to a perfect parent. You may be stressed, you may be busy, you may be frustrated, you may be overwhelmed. Let me tell you, God's not. And he's never too busy to listen to you. And he wants you to come to him and lay your children before him. Father, I thank you for these women. I thank you for their heart to know how to rear children who will be shining examples of your love in the world today. I pray that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, thank you. I want these cards so that I can pray for you. If you would pass them over or bring them to me, this is the only way that we can pray for you by name. Thank you.
To have Edwina speak to your organization, or for information about books, CDs, and cassettes, contact Edwina at 972-599-2590. The website is www.redeemingthetime.org. And thank you for listening.